So this morning, we were last week in the beginning of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. And so I thought that I would hijack Pastor's text and use it and this morning and kind of round out the discussion that we had last week. And so we'll be in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. And so if you want to turn in your Bibles, Bible apps, phones, whatever it is that you use to read the Word of God, I'll give you a second to get there. And so the version that I have is the NLT this morning. And so these two verses read something like this. Now fear the Lord, serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors that they worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let's pause for a moment in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be here. And God, despite all of the mess and stuff it took us to get here, God, we believe that you're here and ready to speak. And so we ask that you would be heard this morning. Not anything that I say, God, but I believe that you have something to say. And so I ask that that would be what's heard today by those that are here and joining us online this morning. So please continue to sit with us for just a few more moments. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, like I mentioned before, we talked about the front bookend of the book of Joshua. We talked about how our strength has to come from God, that we are to daily meditate on his word, and that we have to be rooted in that, and that that stirs up our worship, and we should have a longing to worship God because of the strength that we get from him. We talked about how it takes boldness to follow God. It takes boldness to set aside like our worldly societal standard for what success looks like, and then to choose God's standard of success. And that within the call of God that he places on each one of us, there are inherent promises in those calls. And so we kind of unpacked some of those thoughts last week. And so I want to see what God might have to say to us on the backside of this book that we're talking about. And so last week we found God's people on the eastern side of the promised land. And so they had wandered for 40 years. An entire generation of God's people had died off, and they had eventually made their way to this eastern border of the promised land. So now, after entering the promised land some years later, through God's leading, through his favor, through them following his instructions and plans, and through some turmoil, through several other different things that we won't unpack this morning, we now find them ready to settle, ready for them to receive their inheritance, ready for the promised land to be divided up amongst the 12 tribes, ready for them to start settling in and living in this land that was promised several hundred years ago. And so now in chapter 24, and in the starting of chapter 24 in verse 1, you find Joshua now 110 years old. He gathers the people at Shechem and begins this speech, this sermon, this call to the people as they're now getting ready to go into something that's been promised for them. And Shechem has its own history with God's people. And for hundreds of years, it has served as a place, as a reminder that despite the calamity and other things that they kind of went through, it was this continual place of God's renewed covenant with his people. And if you were to do some research, you would find that it holds a lot of value. And Jacob's well was near this place. And Joseph was buried. His body, his tomb was moved and brought to this place. And it became the inheritance of his descendants and the people that would have followed after him. And so it's kind of this place that God's promise originated with Abraham several hundred years ago, and now it's ending with them actually receiving the promise that was given at that place. And I don't have a whole lot to say today, but I think that there are some things that are worth discussing for a few moments found in this passage. And so the first one is that we must fear the Lord. Verse 14, says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors, worship beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." And it's in all capitals, so we know that this is our God. And I've always heard that phrase, fear the Lord. And when I was younger, it was weird, right? When you think about fear, that means like you're afraid of something. Like you don't want to go near that particular thing. I don't watch like sci-fi thrillers or horror movies because it messes with my head. And despite, you know, my family's, you know, wanting me to join them in these things, I stay away from the things that bother me. And it's more than just a bother, like, I don't like it. Like, I'm probably a little bit of afraid of it. So at 34, it seems kind of weird. But I cover my eyes and turn away from weird stuff on the TV. Right? That's what fear does to you. It makes you do somewhat irrational things. I know that those things on the TV are not real, but it messes with my brain. And so I try to stay away from those things. So when you think about fear and then you think about being told to fear God, you think, well, why would I be afraid of him? That doesn't, it's like two opposites that don't seem to go well together. But the older that I've gotten, the more that I've immersed myself in following God and in being a Christ follower, the more I've come to understand that it's not really fear in the traditional sense that's being called upon here. When you go back to the original language, this particular word used for fear in this place is used three times throughout Scripture. It's used here and in two other places in very similar fashion. Fear the Lord your God. And this is really an awe, a reverence, a respect, a bowing before, a humbling, honoring, if you will. And so when you take the word fear out and you say, live in awe, in reverence, in respect of the Lord your God, it can change the meaning just a little bit. It can change our perception of what the verse is calling us to. And so what does that mean for us? It means that if I tap into the Spirit and knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit, if I tap into that through accepting Christ, then I ought to be respectful and reverent. It ought to draw me to my knees in prayer. It ought to draw me to a place of joyful worship. And not just here on a Sunday morning, not just on a Wednesday night prayer and worship concert, but my everyday attitude, my everyday life should be one of worship. It means that I should jump at the chance to serve in his kingdom. Tony Evans preached on this passage around a year or so ago, actually on Father's Day. And he said in his sermon about this, said that it's clear to him that we want the benefits of the promise of God without the selection to the submission and to the service of God. And so what does that mean? It means we want the salary, but we don't want to do the work. Everybody who is a working person, everybody who's had a job, everybody who ran a lemonade stand when you were a kid, you do the work before you get the money. And so thus is with the kingdom of God, and that's probably not the best analogy to compare earning money towards earning salvation, but there is work to be done here on this side of eternity. And we're working and toiling in aim for the eternal prize. And so just like we talked about last week, that requires us to meditate and study and worship with God daily. The moment that we stop doing that is the moment we become compromised. And when I was thinking about that term, that phrase, that we become compromised in our relationship with Christ, I thought back to Peter walking on the water. And if you think back to that story, his eyes are fixed on Jesus. And for every moment that his eyes are fixed on Jesus, he's walking on top of the water, not falling, but walking. And the moment he realizes and his eyes drop for a second, he begins to sink in an instant. So the moment that we stop relying on God for our strength is the moment we become compromised. So what is Joshua doing in the 13 preceding verses? Joshua is going through a historical recap of why we should serve the Lord. He's recapping the goodness going all the way back to the initial promise with Abraham, that Abraham had Jacob, that Jacob, you know, went through this and this and all the way down to where we are today. And he's reminding them of God's goodness. An entire generation did that, knowing full well that they were not going to receive the promise of God. They were not going to go into the promised land. They taught and educated the next generation and set them on the right path to follow him. So that some verses after our text, with a resounding yes, they say, "We will serve the Lord." This past week, we had the opportunity to have five little red chairs up here behind me on the stage. We had five little kids who had graduated our preschool program from voluntary pre-kindergarten, and they're on their way to the big house. They're on their way to kindergarten. And it was really cool because when you get little kids and like everyone's out here watching them, like you get some who like shy away from that attention and they kind of just sit with their head down. And then you get, you know, there's always the one kid who's like, "Hey, everybody," like saying hi to like everybody in the crowd. And just, he's like there like, "No, like it's about me and I'm going to party right now." But as we talked to them and as we asked them, you know, what did they want to do? Like what was their favorite part of VPK? And they're almost all of them said the same thing. They talked about an activity, and it's and I don't know much about the activity that they talked about, but it was something that was intentional and focused from the teacher to that young student. And then they talked about how they want to be fishermen and they want to be astronauts and they want to be a princess, and you know, they stretched the gamut on what they wanted to be when they grew up. And I realized that there's a chance that we may never see those families again. And I think for some of us, we think about that and say, "Well, that's terrible. You know, how can we plug them in?" And those are conversations we're having. How do we plug them in? How do we take the safe place and the foundation and the seed we've planted, and how do we water it here in this space? And I kind of had the thought that if we don't, then that's okay. Because we've planted a seed, we've watered that seed. And some of those families may have their own churches, some of them may leave, and that's just the reality of what daycare is sometimes. But we have a staff of teachers who are imparting the knowledge into these young lives. And so while we may not see those families again, those five or six staff that we have over there are here more in this space and in this building than we are. And so how do we shift the focus instead of saying, how can I impact the five young lives that are only here for a short time? And then how can I impact the teachers and the staff that are here for the long haul? Pastor Ron said this phrase during his closing in benediction is that daycare is not a job. Daycare is a calling. And despite all of the junk and stuff that has been thrown in the SLC's way for the last few years with the pandemic, they've stuck in with us and they've held on because they love the kids that come through those doors. And so our job as the previous generation is to impart our knowledge to the next generation and to set them on the right path. And so we have the opportunity as we live in fear, as we live in reverence and respect and awe of God, to impart our wisdom and knowledge on not just the kids and the young families, but to the staff as well. There's work to be done. Because when we choose to serve God, it's an all or nothing decision. And so the second and last thought that I want to unpack today is that we are called to live for the kingdom in verse 15. It says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the God of your ancestors that you serve beyond the Euphrates or the God of the Amorites in whose land you are living today. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." When Joshua's speaking with the people, he's issuing a very bold statement, right? He's at the end of his life. He is 110 years old. And so when he says today, "me and my house," He's taking full responsibility at the end of his life for everyone that comes beyond him in his lineage, in his line. He's speaking for his whole family. Choose today, he says to the people. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think Joshua's fear at this moment was that the people would become complacent. Because he says in verse 15, he says, you can either serve God, right? The one true God, our God, who brought you here through all of these things. You could serve the gods that your ancestors served back in Egypt. You could serve the gods of the Amorites who were now living in the land of, right? I think he was concerned that after 40 years of wandering, that day one they could find themselves complacent, finally holding the promise of God. They're immersed in a new land. They're immersed with other traditions and cultures and things around them. And I feel like that's much like today. I feel like we tout the fact that we're in America, that America was founded on Christian nation, as a Christian nation, that we were, there's Christian values in the founding of our country. But when you look around and you see like all of the stuff that's going on around us, like it's harder and harder and harder to see that value that was there at the beginning. And it's so easy to get caught up in all the stuff and all the things that are flying around us because it's flashy, it's fun, it's exciting, and it looks fun, right? It looks like a good time to go and get caught up in all of those things. Tony Evans says later in the same message that I spoke about earlier, he says, don't let the place you're living define the decisions that you make. He believed that that was the point that Joshua was trying to make to the kingdom. Don't let the excitement of finally being here take your eyes off the prize. The same message that Christ had to Peter. Don't let the excitement of being out here walking on the water, don't forget that you're doing it in my strength, not in your own. And kingdom living means that we often set aside our own comfort for the will of God. And so recently, as many of you know, I changed my job. And I don't say anything that I'm about to say about that transition and what that looked like for us as a brag or anything, because it is not by my own strength that we made these decisions as a family. But I had a job that I had for over 6 years. And I started doing the most menial job there. And I worked my way up to a very high level position within that company. And I made really good money. I made over six figures at 33 years of age. And to me, that was it. That was the dream. That was the goal. I could provide for my family. There was no want that we had. If my kids wanted it, we could buy it. If we wanted it, we could buy it. If we wanted to go to vacation, we went on vacation. That's actually not true. I felt really guilty to go on vacation because I was overworked there. But anyway, that's besides the point. But there was something that was missing. My presence at home as a father and as a husband was not at the level that it should be as a Christ follower, as a man of God. There were other things that needed my attention, things of church, things that I was responsible for here that weren't getting the attention and devotion that they required as someone who was on staff as a pastor and again, a follower of God. And so I began to pray and I began to talk to Amber and we began to pray about these different things, like what could we do? What did we feel like God was saying to us? And the difficulty in making the decision boiled down to, I didn't believe that we could make it work to make any less money. In fact, I said that over and over and over again to her. I don't see how this can work if we make any less money. Because I'd be trading one stress of work and being tired and frustrated and being stressed out all the time. I would be trading one stress for financial stress. And it didn't seem like two of the same thing, just in different forms. And so as I began to pray, we began to have conversations and think about different things and started to budget, and we had been paying off some debt and other things, and it just seemed like all these little pieces were starting to fall in place. I had the opportunity to transition and work with Family Initiatives and to not only have a job that was meaningful because, you know, guys have to find meaning in what they do and it helps us to feel valuable and a lot of other weird brain science stuff that I won't bore you with today. But it helped me to impart to other people, right? To help other foster families in crisis, to help families who are struggling with developmental diagnoses such as autism spectrum disorder and other things where people just feel alone. I can come and bring them hope and peace, and I can talk about Christ with people. It opens up opportunities for the church to reach other people in our community. It opens up opportunities for me to be here and do more things here in church, but ultimately it opens up opportunities for me to have flexibility to be at home and be a husband and a father. And so as difficult as it is to set aside the comforts and the luxuries that sometimes this world provides for us, which is typically money, the benefits have outweighed the financial sacrifices. And I'll be honest with you, there has not been a time that we have wanted for something and not been able to get those things, because God continues to find ways to provide for us through unexpected things that we didn't expect to come through, you know, just a variety of different ways that I won't unpack today. And again, I don't say those things to brag about myself. I don't want a high five after this. I don't want people to say, I'm proud of you after this. It's not at all what I'm going for. But if you're worried about taking the step into the promised land because you are going to have to sacrifice something, I have news for you that God is going to replace that tenfold with something that you never expected to have or to see coming. And so take the step. Take the step to plug into the church. Take the step to plug into things like Kids Club, serving in the daycare, on a board, a committee, serving in Care Portal. If you are not well enough to do those things or you can't have the time to do it, there's praying for us, being prayer warriors. There's different things. We need more prayer. If you happen to be one of those people who serve the Lord and have found yourself with lots of green paper with dead presidents on the front of them, we need those things too. But truly to live for the kingdom means that we set aside our own comfort for the sake of God's kingdom. And so as Joshua says, you know, here, as he recounts the goodness of God and all the things that God's done for them, we have that. We have scripture to remind us of those things. And so help us, God, to keep our eyes fixed on you and to set aside the world's standard for comfort and for success and to accept God's. And so if you are one of those people who are wondering, you know, how do I plug in? What can I do? Please come talk to me afterwards. We have a tremendous amount of upcoming opportunities to plug in and to be a part of, to do the kingdom work. And so Pastor Dave and the band are gonna come lead us in a song. And so what I want to do today is as we close and as they sing, if you choose today that you and your house will serve the Lord, then I think it would be a beautiful testimony, a beautiful picture for families to come and stand across the front to say, this day we choose to follow the Lord. I may not know what that looks like today. I may not know what the next step is, but I know today that I will serve the Lord.